Mike Buseglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Appreciate you listening in. I'm kind of settled into some decent winter weather now. Thank goodness the footing's still good, and we're getting out. And I catch anybody complaining, I'll just tell them to go back and reel back a few years and go back to that infamous winter, the winter of 2009-2010, when we had 65 inches of snow between December 19th and the middle of February. And we spent a good part of that winter worrying about our footing rather than worrying about the temperatures, which is what we're doing now, which is fine. Just dress properly, and you'll find that it's pretty enjoyable. Kind of a neat time for me personally, just in reflecting the breadth of the the competitiveness of the sport. Two extremes, starting with last Saturday, FUMA, Winston Brown put on a neat little mini invite down at the Estes Center on the FUMA campus, and you had a bunch of kids. Probably about a dozen to 15 high schools were there, and I got the chance to go down, snuck out of work with Cynthia on Saturday. It was nice. The staff said, go ahead, sneak away. It's kind of cool when your own staff tells you you can get away because Saturday's usually busy. And
right.
The reason I've been going to meets, local meets for over 30 years, and long before we had children, even through our kids going up to high school and they weren't competing, I'm a fan of the sport, obviously, and fan of our kids. Love seeing them. But I'm particularly wowed by the newcomers and seeing them, watching them from afar, even though they don't know I'm watching them, and kind of like the stalker fan where I see them nervously and really nervously getting themselves worked up to get on the starting line for their very first race of their high school career, of their right. young lives. And my daughter Annie was one of them last week. And so Cynthia and I really enjoyed getting to see a race. Oh my gosh, was she nervous? But no different than any of the other kids who were in their oversized, kind of low end of the food chain uniforms. They always give the old uniforms, the right. kind of almost hand me downs to the eighth graders and freshmen. And of course, a lot of them are little kids at this point.
Sure,
they haven't matured physically, so they look huge on these kids, and they're all freaked out about, gee, I don't want to be in these baggy shorts. But too bad, you know. It's almost like rites of passage, but
right.
They're all over there, you know, very nervously, you know, wide-eyed and gulping and, let me get on the starting line. No, I don't want to get on the starting line. Let me get on the starting line. No, I don't. The back and forth. I want to race. No, I don't.
Yeah.
So very cool, Mike, to see these kids race. Will Ryan, he's a tiny guy like Annie, and although he's growing, they look like ponies, you know, with these long legs, and you just know they're about ready to sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Bided his time in his heat until about two laps to go, three laps to go, and blew by the leader. And wins his heat. Very cool to see him, he's a freshman. So it was kind of a fabulous freshman day for me to watch a lot of these kids who were just starting out. Some of them was their very first race, like my daughter Annie, who actually did quite well. She didn't win her heat. She didn't place in her heat. But just the fact that she came off the track and said, sure. Dad, I can't wait to do this again. Mom, Dad, you know, I got to figure it out. I didn't know when to go. I didn't know how hard to push. And that typical kind of, you know, it's indoors. There's a lot of laps. It's 160 meters of not traditional
right.
outdoor distance. So when do I go? At what point do I push? And so very cool to me. That's the biggest victory of all when you see a child who says, I love it. Annie Taylor, and of course, Western's phenom. She was third in the 2 mile. And Peter Lamont, one of the Sudanese kids that came over, and Winston and Beth Brown have so kindly opened up their home too. He was third in the mile as a freshman, 4:55, pretty decent time starting out indoors. Any time you can break 5 minutes as a freshman, boy, whew, that's, well, freshman girl, you'd be number one in the country. But freshman boy, that's kind of a big milestone. Most freshman boys do not break 5 minutes during the indoor or outdoor season. So pretty good for him.
Yeah.
Chance Maslov, she's daughter of one of my good buddies, Jack. Neat to see her out there. She was in the same heat as Annie, and she just looked awesome. She won the, here she is, first race, pretty much she wins the 1,000. Devin Berger from Flavanna, she was third in the 1,000. Just, it was neat. And a couple other pretty call-out type performances, but the big one of the day, Javonique Burris. She's the 11th grader from Louisa. She's just a point-making machine. Mm. She was first in the 55 hurdles. She helped her 4x2 relay team win. So picked up another blue ribbon there. She won the long jump, yet another first blue ribbon. And then she was second in the triple jump. So great day for her.
Cool.
But you swing from these freshmen, Mike, all the way over to what's about ready to happen this weekend. The breadth of experience. The U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials, Saturday morning, Houston.
Right.
Women and men together, first time ever that I know of. I've been out of it on this, but I don't think so. They usually have the men's trials and women's trials, separate cities, separate times. No, I do know that because Boston, we were up for the Boston Marathon right. in 2008 when a lot of our locals were in the marathon and in the trials, and it was the women's Olympic trials the day before the Boston Marathon,
okay.
And the men's was a different location, different time, different date. So this is neat this weekend, and we've got several locals, either currently living here or people with local ties that are going to be in the race.
Oh, nice.
Of course, Louise Knudsen, we talked about her, qualified 2:42, and her teammate, Melissa Rittenhouse, they're both on the RMR team. We're wishing them all the best. They're both going to be going for PRs, and I know they'll have a good shot at that, and we're real very excited for them. And then Emily Potter, who grew up here locally, was a star at Almar, one of Lance's Wiz Kids over at Almar High School, went on to become West Point's top runner, and now she's the fastest. She's in the Army, the fastest U.S. Army marathoner in the world. Really great gal, very modest and tough as can be. She'll be there. Emily Harrison, All-American at UVA. People may remember that name. It's not that long ago. In 2007, she graduated. She ran with our post-collegiate team for a little while as we were starting out, and then moved out to with McMillan Racing, kind of the New York Yankees of these post-collegiate teams, and she's got a shot of being, she's kind of a contender to make that third spot possibly. She's got 2:33 PR coming in. So watch out for Emily Harrison. And then, of course, the big name, I think, that of all our locals that's got kind of the most significant shot at making the team is Jeff Eggleston. And Jeff is a former 10-miler, Charlottesville 10-miler
that's
champion,
cool.
Ran at UVA, and a former Ragamountain employee, so we'll be cheering loud
Absolutely.
From afar for Jeff Eggleston, who's also on one of these post-collegiate teams. And he comes in with a 2:13 PR, Mike.
What 2:13. Is that?
Oh, gosh, it's right around, it's probably just a little over 5-minute pace, somewhere down in that range. And so good for him. And we're wishing all of them the very best. And it's exciting stuff to have these folks with local ties. And we'll answer it later on in the cast, but who was the last person with local ties that won the 10 miler
right.
to make it to the Olympics? Okay, so, and I'll give you a hint, it was in the marathon, and we'll talk about that later on. Other folks will be running the Houston Marathon the next day, and they have marathons open to the public, so it's like the Boston Marathon, it's really smart of them. They built the trials. They put the trials in the middle of an event that already existed where there's going to be thousands of runner
right.
types there with their families to have built-in spectators, which
sure.
is really cool. So we got Amy Martin, Sarah Hickey, and Andrew Zapanter that I know of, folks I coach. They're doing the half on Sunday. And then Harry Landers and Megan Bowen and then Michelle Rupp. She's kind of new to town. She's in your world, Mike. She was one of the newscasters, I think, on CBS
yeah.
or one of those the
Newsplex.
Newsplex guys.
Right.
We really enjoy those stations. And Michelle is, I think, running the marathon along with those other folks. So great.
Cool.
And neat. They're all excited to go down and watch. And so, they're, you know, again, these folks are kind of at the other end, these Olympic trial folks, of the Will Ryans and the Chance Maslows and the Andy Lorenzonis who are just starting out. And what I remind young kids over and over again is that the sport is beautiful. You're a perfect example, Mike, of how you start out, you can barely run 1 mile.
Right.
And you can barely do it in a certain time. And then as time goes on, you realize you can run 10 miles. And you can run it faster than you could run that mile. And then ultimately, if you choose to go beyond that, you find that you can push your body to pretty neat extremes. So we've got, a couple of tips here. I just am finding that this... Folks getting started out with running, I say this over and over again, if you can find a training partner, it's going to make life so much easier. This is my big thing with Brad Savage. We're constantly bantering on the 106 The Corner on Tuesday mornings. We're going back and forth all the time about why he hasn't been able to cart his backside out to this 10-mile training program to get exercise going. He just walked by. Yeah. He probably knew we were talking about it.
He gets
a dirty look, yes. I think he's paranoid now. Every time he sees me with a mic, he says, are you trashing me?
Exactly.
But he always got a great sense of humor, and he's really grounded about this whole thing, and he's good to you know, joke about it. But I was telling him on air the other day that finding a partner, I mean, if anybody listening here is probably a pretty experienced runner, but if you know someone in your life, and I sure hope you do, that wants to get running into their life, you're setting them up for failure almost right off the bat if you don't include into the fray of, you know, you need to get shoes and you need to get a training program and you need to start out slowly and you need to start out with very little and you need to hydrate and, you know, all those tips. If you don't have training partner built in there, that person's, the odds of them sticking with the running for any long period of time are a lot less than they would be, you know, with someone. So it makes such a big deal.
Having somebody there just to talk to and It's a different world.
It makes the run go that much faster. It's that much more pleasant. But also, it holds you accountable.
Exactly.
If you and I are more likely to run if I know that 4 days a week you're meeting me at 6:30 in the morning,
right,
than if I'm meeting myself at 6:30 and myself alone. So
exactly.
Anyway, and it seems to go with that saying, but yet over and over again, I find that people haven't even thought about this. It's not an easy task to find someone physically aligned with you.
Exactly.
Spiritually aligned, someone you get along with, you actually enjoy their company because you're going to be spending some pretty intimate time together. And then the third thing, of course, is you have to have schedules.
Right.
And locations. You can't have a training partner. I've got friends in Richmond. I'm not going to ever run with them.
Sure.
Maybe something special we set up on a Sunday. You know, we do once a year or something, a group run. I'm getting it right. Communication, not only with yourself, but with anyone in your life that's either guiding you with your running. If you don't have a coach, then obviously communication with yourself or with a doctor. But if you've got something going astray, the faster you get on top of it, how many times have we talked about this, the faster you're going to add to your life. I'm going to call out three people. Mike Gaffney, which came to me this week saying, I'm feeling pretty fatigued. I need to cut back a little bit. A lot going on in my life, blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't saying blah, blah, blah. But it's the usual things that can catch up with you. And he says, Coach, I'm just going to back off a little bit this week. Great, Mike. Doesn't matter what the email said, you know, 50 miles a week, cut it back to 35, skip a couple of days, cut back your runs, get yourself back feeling a little better. Caroline McNeely, her ankle was ailing a little bit after the very first day of it bothering her. She calls me. So we're getting on top of this thing fast. And I brought in the whole notion of rest and taking some days off because I'm going to talk to you about it in a second. An athlete who didn't do this and how they've got a lingering injury, but I just said, let's take 2 or 3 days off. Let's ice it, heat it in the morning, ice it at night, and it'll probably be gone. And then we identified the source. We realized very quickly that she'd run 15 on Saturday and then a little bit brisker, maybe part of it than she normally does. And then Monday she went back out and did 10 and maybe some of that a little brisker too. And by the end of the run on Monday, she's starting to feel it. She gets up Tuesday,
right.
She's hurting. So she calls me when? Tuesday. Awesome, Caroline. Way to go. Nicole Kelleher, one of the top-ranked triathletes in the country, you think she doesn't need help. She thinks she doesn't need to talk to anyone. She's so experienced. She's so good. No. She comes to Cynthia and I the other day. She's got a little foot ailment. We identified the source, gave her some advice, told her what to do. Good for you, Nicole. Not so good, and I'm not going to say names, are folks recently that I'm finding out about their injuries weeks after they're in the middle of it, or that they have communicated with me, but they haven't listened about taking some time off. And oh my gosh, I mean, Cynthia and I are getting increasingly more frustrated, Mike, with this notion.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, taking time off, resting, has taken on a whole new meaning for people that resting means cutting back your mileage from 5 miles to 3 or from 10 to 5. No, when I say take time off, I mean, really, if your foot's hurting. Now, Mike Gaffney is fatigued, a little different. So I'm going to tell him to cut his mileage back, maybe take a few extra days off. But if Mike Gaffney came to me and said, I've got tendonitis in my Achilles, the worst thing you can do is keep pushing through it, particularly in this cold weather. So taking time off really does mean not running. So this person, I had to get on pretty bad. He was saying, yeah, no, I took 1 day off. And then I cut my runs back. I just ran, you know, like 3 or 4 miles instead of my usual. No, not enough. Sometimes you have to take a week to 10 days, but better that, get your body completely healed up than that lingering, nagging, niggling, tugging on you, controlling your life to the point where then you end up with a real, because the longer it's stewing, the greater the chance you're going to end up not being able to accomplish your goal.
Right.
You know, not being able to train. So I cannot say it enough. You grab one thing out of this run cast today, one nugget. That's the, to me, one of the most important. Scattering around here some more. The Leah Connor, she got the Goofy medal, which I'm not joking about. That really is the Goofy medal. You go to Disney World, and if you run the half marathon on Saturday, you get a medal. And I think it's a Mickey Mouse medal.
Right.
And if you run the half marathon on – no, it's the other way around. Half marathon on Saturday, marathon on Sunday. If you run one, you get one medal. You run either – I'm not explaining this carefully. But anyway – if you run both,
right,
you get the Goofy medal. And I'll never forget somebody doing this a few years ago, and he came home, and he obviously had not grown up with Disney in his life at all, because he goes, I did both. I was so psyched, but they gave me this medal with this cartoon character, Goofy. Why? And I said, ask no more,
right?
Because what you've just done is pretty goofy.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty amazing, and pretty, you got to be so careful with this. So I said, Leah Connor, my good buddy who I coach, and she's my right-hand woman with so many of the programs I do throughout the year. And she knows to be extra cautious, but she actually ran a decent marathon. She did the half marathon as a warm-up the day before, but nobody really ever would do a 13-mile run, even a week before a marathon.
Heck of a warm-up.
So she did a 13-miler on Saturday and then ran a 3:56 marathon Sunday. Leah, if you're listening, anybody that knows Leah, tell her it's time to take a little break here. And definitely get a little rest after this, because that's a lot.
So
39 miles in 2 days. 39?
Yeah. So 39. This is through the Magic Kingdom and
yeah, and around the park. And then I gather some of it gets kind of snoozy, boring, like, you go out into Orlando and it's not that as stimulating,
right,
obviously, as the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But you're going to, the Magic Kingdom's big, but it isn't 26 miles
right,
of roads.
You'll do a few
So you got to have to, like the Williamsburg Half Marathon. People say, oh, you get to go through Colonial Williamsburg. Yes, but Colonial Williamsburg, Duke of Gloucester Street is, 3/4 of a mile long.
Right. It's one thing.
Where are you
going to
get the rest of it?
In the stroller.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah,
but congrats to her. And at the same time, Leah, please be careful. Pretty neat accomplishment.
That's cool.
Saw that's his brother, saw Doug Horne in the store the other day. And I always tease him. He comes in. I said, here comes Doug Horne. He still holds the school record in the mile at Charlottesville High School from 1975. He always says, shh, because he's obviously not the same person he was then, but who is? But 4:14,
wow,
and kind of a call out to him, pretty amazing. And I think it really is one of the longest standing mile or distance records of any of our area schools, 1975, 4:14. And he said,
great,
he ran that at the state meet and he was fifth that day. He was fifth with a 4:14.
What was first?
I don't know, but that's pretty neat stuff. And Doug, the Horn brothers, all neat family. And of course, Horn is a really solid name in our community for a family that's given back over the years. They have a construction business. But Doug, it was neat to chat with him and reminisce. Let's see. Okay, upcoming races. We're in the indoor track season, so Woodbury Forest has a meet Friday night. FUMA's got the big FUMA Invitational Saturday, that if you want to see local high school kids, you want to see them in a 5-ring circus. The other day, there was a new parent had never been to an indoor meet before, and he was standing with me. And he goes, this is like a circus. I said, you've just nailed it. I said, look over there. There's the triple jump. Look over there. They're doing the high jump. As we're talking, look over there. They're doing the pole vault. And then we got a running race going on, and sometimes even have the shot put going on at the same time. And it's the coolest thing. You're constantly being stimulated if you're a track fan. So ever wanted to see an indoor track meet, FUMA at the Estes Center this Saturday. Winston always puts on a great meet with that. Kids track clinic and kids relay races next Saturday, the 21st. If you have a child, 4 to 12, it's free. Charlottesville High School, like I said, Charlottesville High School, 8:30. 10-mile training program continues to be open to anybody who wants to join in. At this point, you need to be doing 4 miles. As your long run, pretty impressive program, 1 up to 4 miles. I think that's about it. So trivia question to be answered. We'll answer it right here.
Okay.
The last person that I can think of that was a 10-miler champion and had very, very close-knit local ties
right.
that went on to make the Olympic team. She actually won the Olympic trials as Margaret Gross, and she won the 10-miler back in, I believe it's 89 or 90.
That's
I think she came here the year after the Olympics. So she was at the Olympics 80. I think it was 89. She set the course record that I can confidently say. Now, of course, there's records are meant to be broken, but Mike, she ran 54 minutes that day. She was the eighth person overall.
Wow.
So only she goes, Mark, that race had been much longer. I was picking off guys left and right. I was so into it. She goes, I wanted to see.
Another mile.
She wasn't going to win the race necessarily because the two guys that finished first, second that day ran in the 49-minute range, which hardly ever happens. I think we've only had three sub-50 times run on that course. But anyway, she was eighth person overall on a very competitive day, and she ran 54 minutes.
That's
but
great.
I think that's the last person to make the Olympic team that had local ties to us. And of course, Margaret was UVA's first female scholarship athlete. Not just running.
That's pretty cool.
No basketball player, no soccer player, no lacrosse player. A women's basketball player had ever accepted a scholarship, had been offered a scholarship, the University of Virginia, that I'm aware of, offered, maybe I'm getting a little bit out there with my knowledge, but certainly had accepted a scholarship to come to the University of Virginia before Margaret Gross in 1976. So pretty cool.
That's great.
And she didn't let him down because she won the national championship and she still has some school records. And then she went on to win the Olympic trials. All right. I think that's about it. We'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.